hall of faith. We've spoken about three people so far. We spoke beginning about Abel, and then last week we focused on Enoch and Noah. A little bit different in this sense, because not a lot was said really about, well, not a whole lot was known about Abel, and not a whole lot was mentioned in Hebrews. Very little was said about Enoch in Genesis, but we learn a little bit more in Hebrews. Noah, we know a lot about in Genesis, but really wasn't mentioned, you know, very extensively here in Hebrews. But now we come to an individual that we have a lot of we know a lot about from the Genesis account, and we have nine verses here in Hebrews that focuses on him. Just what we're going to cover today. There's some more verses in Hebrews that we will split up and talk next week. So last week we talked about two people in one lesson. This person's going to take two lessons to get through. Obviously, we're talking about Abraham. The writer of Hebrews, like I mentioned, talks quite a bit. And what we're going to talk about next week is not what we're going to talk about today. Next week is how I'm trying to say. The thing that happened in Abraham's life that most people think about is not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about if he was a superhero, it'd be his backstory. You know, what led him to become the man that he was. And really what it is all about is that Abraham was called to move to a land that would eventually become his inheritance. And he's asked to go there sight unseen, because we're told that he had never been there. He didn't know about it, but he was called to go there, but he had really no idea where it was that he actually was going to go. And just think, if the Lord came to you today and said, John, you're gonna move somewhere. Just go. I'll lead you there and tell you what you're gonna do when you get there. Would John say, okay? You know, that's a lot to ask someone. Abraham was no different than any of us. We have our friends, we have our families, we have people that, you know, that we've built a life around. And he was just told, go. He wasn't asked. He was told to go. And from what we could tell, he didn't really hem or haw about it. He didn't take his time in making a decision to act upon what God has told him. The idea is that as soon as God said it, Abraham was doing it. I'm not a Hebrew scholar or anything like that, and I didn't feel like getting into a word study, but some of the research I did mentioned that the form of the word that's made here about, that's used to say that Abraham went, meant that it was, while God was still saying it, Abraham was doing it. And so, like I said, I'm not a scholar. I don't know how true that is, but that's something that I did read, that as soon as God said it, Abraham did it. There was no waiting around. There was no, you know, foot shuffling or anything like that. He just did it. And so this is just another aspect of what true faith is about. With Abel, we saw that true faith is the fact that, unlike his brother, Abel worshipped faithfully. He had been told what was expected of them, and he carried that through. With Enoch, we talked about how even though there was a lot of evil around him, Enoch stayed faithful. And with Noah, we saw that true faith obeys commands, even though they may seem illogical or you may not know what's going on. Now we know with Abraham that true faith doesn't doubt, doesn't question. True faith obeys, and it obeys immediately. Trusting God means that I want to do whatever I'm told by God to do, and to do it as soon as I learn what is expected of me. Verses 9 and 10 tell us that he lived in this land of promise. When he eventually went there, we're told that he lived almost as if he was a foreigner. It was not a land that he was familiar with. It was not a land where he knew anybody. And so he lived as really it was not his home. But he did it, we're told, because of his faith. Rather than being given the land immediately, Abraham basically had to live like a nomad, something that wasn't his, even though it was going to be his. And we're told that they lived in tents, which, you know, when we use a tent today, we put it in the back of our car, we drive somewhere, and we may stay for a night or two, and then we come back home. We don't view a tent, under most conditions, we don't view a tent as being a permanent solution for our housing. A tent is temporal for us. But for Abraham, it was just the opposite. It became where he lived. It was something that he could pick up and move about, kind of, like I said, that nomadic aspect. How many of us would be eager to say, go and you're going to live in tents. You're not going to have a permanent place. I don't know if Abraham had a three-bedroom home with, you know, a two-car garage and all that, but I'm sure he wasn't living in tents, and he was now going to be having that lifestyle. But once again, we're told that he did it. And that's something that, you know, we might have a little bit of trouble with. And most people would, but Abraham is not, and that's why it's being mentioned here. His faith came through. He was not given the land that was promised to him, but we know that his descendants took that land, but Abraham still went through it. He lived in that way, and he had the faith to continue to trust God, even when I'm sure people were in his ear, what are you doing? Why did you leave? You know, if those people could have had conversations with him, I'm sure they would have been trying to dissuade him from doing what he was doing, but he continued to live in these tents in this land in which he was not familiar. Verse 10 of chapter 11 says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Abraham was seeing the unseen. The first lesson I had in this series, we talked about definitions of faith. And faith is belief in something that we have never seen or that we've never known, but we have the hope provided to us about such things. Abraham was not concerned that he was living in a tent. He had the big picture in mind, because as it says in verse 10, he was looking for a city that had foundations. He was looking for a city that was going to be permanent. He was looking for a city that we're told here was designed and built by God. His eyes were not on things of this earth. He didn't concern himself, because he knew that just like his tents, his life on earth was going to be temporary. He knew that there was a home awaiting for him and a house and a kingdom that would not be going away at any time. And it didn't matter to him what his living conditions might be. He didn't matter that he was a stranger during his time there. He had his eyes set on the real goal, and that was a permanent home for him in heaven. The writer then comes to the topic of Abraham and Sarah having a child. The point is quite simple. Sarah was very much in age. Abraham's body was generally out of the time that most people considered someone being able to rear a child or, you know, to conceive a child. But Abraham and Sarah had Isaac at the ages of Sarah, I think, was 90, and Abraham was 100. And so these were, I know people lived longer lives than they do now, but even then that was considered ages that were not typical for, you know, having a child. But God not only said that you're going to have a child, he said you are going to be, you know, having so many offspring that they're going to be countless, like the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the beaches around the world. They were going to be innumerable. Yeah. Genesis 15 verse 6 actually says, "And he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness." Once again, he didn't believe. Now, many may have a hard time believing that God is able to do things that are improbable, well, consider believing that God can do what's impossible. Well, that's what Abraham did. It was impossible for him to, you know, naturally, 90 and 100, to maybe have a child. But we find that despite the faith that Abraham is said to have, Genesis 17, verse 17 reads, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?' The Lord told him that this was true, that he was going to have a child, and Abraham had faith in his Lord. The initial shock was, this isn't natural. This doesn't happen. But the Lord says, it will happen, and Abraham believed the Lord, and from that point forward, he had the faith that it was going to happen. We also know about Sarah in chapter 18, also laughed at this thought when she heard, when the three men came down and visited Abraham and she heard the discussion that took place between the four of them. She was in her tent, but she heard what was going on and she laughed. And the Lord says to her, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? For man it is, but for God it's not." And so true faith that Abraham had is the ability to believe that God can do anything that he says he can do. Even if it may be impossible for us to carry out, this should help us trust God more. There are many things that we can't do in our lives, but God can. Not to say that God will always do the impossible for those that are faithful and ask for it, but faith is a recognition that God has the ability to do so, whether it's done or not. We have the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or I remember Mike years ago said it's really Abednego or something along those lines. Since he said that, I've always felt guilty saying Abednego, but I'm going forward with it. This is the attitude that these three men had, is the attitude that we need to have. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, after they were told that they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, they say to Nebuchadnezzar, "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." They believed that God was able to save them. But they weren't sure that he would. They couldn't rely upon God's involvement in this. But they had the faith that he absolutely had the ability to do so. And so the faith that they exhibited is what we can have. We don't know if the Lord will answer our prayers. We don't know that the Lord will heal someone or, you know, fix whatever may be wrong in your life. But the faith we have to have is not that he will do it, but the faith is that he can do it, just like these three men exhibited. And so the writer of Hebrews, in the middle of his description about Abraham, makes a very important point. All these people that we're talking about in Abraham is that they all died in faith, but in Abraham's case, he didn't receive the promises. And Abraham is the perfect illustration of this. He didn't live long enough to see his land that was promised to him be inhabited and occupied by those that would become his family. He didn't ever see that his descendants would become as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the beaches. But they all believed in the unseen. They looked into the distance. They knew that God was trustworthy, that their faith in him would not be, you know, would not be in vain. He kept his eye in the distance and knew that the Lord would keep his promises. He knew that his home was not something in the physical. And so he was looking forward to the heavenly, you know, country that he was going to inherit in his death. And so that's what he focused upon. He was not thinking about what was going to happen. He believed the Lord. And so the point here is that If he'd been thinking of, you know, the land that he had left, he'd been thinking, I'm living in this crummy tent, his faith would have wavered, and he might not have, you know, he would have become very discouraged, and his faith would have wavered. But we know that's not what happened. All he thought about was the city built by God that was awaiting him. And people like him have this vision. And there's a statement that's made about them by the writer at the tail end of verse 16 here in Hebrews 11. And the writer says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. He's talking about all these people that we're going to be talking about here in Hebrews, these exhibitions of great faith. They are not something that ashamed the Lord or shames the Lord. They were looking for the city that was prepared for them, and their life was a testament to that, and God was not ashamed. And so if we could live our lives that the Lord would not be ashamed of us, I think that's about as great an honor as any of us could hope for. They were looking for that city that was designed and built by God, and we should have that same goal. We should be looking forward to it, and that city awaits us all. Then the writer of Hebrews emphasizes the vision that these heroes of faith had. I think one thing that we might struggle with reading about this is that too often our vision is what's just in front of us. This is all we know, this land, here on earth. And I mentioned earlier, I doubt there'd be many of us here who'd be happy living in a tent. We most likely would want God's promises given to us now. We're a now type of society. But these men died. These people that we're going to read about here in Hebrews, they all live without receiving their promises. And so their eyes were not on what God was going to do for them now. They were looking in the future. Where is our home? Can we say and mean that this world really is not our home? We sing a song called "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through." We have to be able to sing that. When we sing that song, we have to believe those words. We have to think, this world isn't my home. Even though we have a home on earth, it's not our true home. And as we sing that song, we have to be confident in that. We spend so much time of our efforts on the things here in this world, and after all that can be done in this life is basically said and done, well, we need to be prepared what's happening next. And if we've set our goals, and if we've looked forward to that city built and designed by God, then we'll be in good shape. But if you live your life and get everything you think you can get from this life, and that's all you're focused on, well, then you're going to be disappointed. We can't be thinking about this land that we are going to be leaving behind. We got to be thinking about the land we're going to. And so we need to be able to make the same sacrifices, maybe not on the grand scale that Abraham did, but we have to be willing to make whatever sacrifices the Lord demands of us as we live a faithful life in His service. And if we keep our minds on heaven, then that will just make that simpler. Now, next week, we will continue looking at Abraham. We will then talk about the one event in his life that most people could say, confidently, that most people would know about Abraham. And that, of course, is the command to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And we'll talk about that next week. Brother Andy has the prayer, and after that, we'll be dismissed to our class.